This is a podcast from ABC Radio Overnights. I'm Rod Quinn. Time for our weekly look at the world of health and fitness with Professor Gordon Lynch at the University of Melbourne. Gordon, good morning.
Good morning, Rod.
Now, Gordon, we return to a subject that you're very, very passionate about, and that is weight training. Why is it so important?
It's very important because it's one of those exercises that is important for looking after the health of our muscles and bones. So we've got different types of exercises that work different body parts predominantly. So we think about aerobic exercises. An example would be, you know, brisk walking. And, you know, if you do that, your heart and lungs are working harder and blood is pumping, and that's great. And that's good for the circulation and other things. So cardiorespiratory, heart and lung fitness is served best by aerobic exercises. But for our bones and our muscles and our ligaments and joints and so on, resistance training there's a lot of evidence over many years now to show that that's what we should be doing, as well as the aerobic exercises, to look after our muscle strength, our muscle endurance, some range of motion is improved, but also bone health as well. So it's just a fantastic exercise, which we've promoted on this show for nearly 20 years now as something we should be adopting. And it's great, and I think it's great that we advocate that, but we have to do it safely, and we have to do it to avoid injury so that we can make progress. And that's really what I wanted to emphasise today.
But when you talk about resistance training, does it have to be with weights? Can it be with those, you know, elastic bands, those large elastic bands that people use, or maybe attached to a door or something like that, that might be, for some people, for most people, you know, a better way of doing it than working with weights?
Yes, certainly you can use any form of resistance. So it's resistance training. Weight training is, you would think, lifting weights, but if we call it resistance training, that is where the muscles are working against some resistance or load, then those bands that you're talking about are very good for if someone doesn't have access to dumbbells and barbells and expensive machines, etc., then, you know, the resistance bands offer a sort of a more cost-effective way of doing resistance training and deriving those benefits. So I agree entirely.
All right. So avoiding injury, though, the last thing you want to do, especially if you're working with weights, is injure yourself, either at the start or, you know, throughout your training. So you've got to have the right technique. And again, this is something that a lot of people just simply don't have. They don't know. They just think, well, I lift them and put them down again.
Yeah, and sometimes that can be a put off. You know, people are somewhat apprehensive to do because they don't know what to do. And so I think that's a legitimate concern. We can talk about the benefits, but it's only if they're done properly. And technique is critical to that, right? So we can work our muscles through particular ranges of motion if we're doing the technique properly, if we're lifting properly. And so if you're unsure of how to do that, then I think seek guidance. I mean, there are many things on the internet which show you how to lift weights, and there's so many these days, it's unbelievable. But I think probably a better way is if you go into a gym or a fitness centre or so on, and there are staff there that can look after you, I think ask. If you're in doubt, ask. And that is, learn from them how to do the exercises, how to lift, how to hold the bars or work the machines, and that will save you a lot of trouble and the possibility of getting injured by doing it the wrong way. So there's a benefit of not getting injured, but there's also the benefit of, if you're doing it the right way, you would get the best return on your investment of time. So there's an incentive there to do it properly.
Okay, another thing that people need to keep in mind is breathing. Now, you don't really think about that if you're going for a walk, but if you're running, if you're swimming, if you're working out, you need to breathe properly. So what is it when it comes to lifting weights? Is it when you breathe in, when you breathe out?
Yeah, I think it should be a fairly natural thing. I think the message I'd like to say regarding breathing is don't hold your breath. I mean, that's the thing we don't want to do, because, you know, that can lead to problems. It could lead to blood pressure increases, developing headaches. You could get dizzy and become disorientated and faint and so on. So the idea is to breathe normally. And typically, you know, in terms of the right way to do it, usually on the most strenuous portion of a lift or during an exercise is when you're breathing out. And if you're doing the easiest portion of the exercise, that's when you're breathing in. So typically if you're lifting upwards, it's usually breathing out, and as you're lowering the weight, it's usually breathing in. And if you can maintain that sort of rhythm and breathing as normally as you can, then you should be fine. I think the message I really wanted to say about breathing is don't hold your breath, and that can lead to problems and therefore getting injured, so we can avoid that just by trying to breathe as naturally as possible.
And something else that, you know, we've talked about over the years is the idea of the warm up and the warm down. And that's also really important with weight training. I suppose you can't just go in cold. And are you also saying that once you finish, you shouldn't just sit down?
Yeah, that is what I'm saying. And I think it goes for all sorts of exercise, right? We're going from a position where we're resting, where our heart rate is, you know, at its normal resting level, and then suddenly we're challenging the body to do more intense exercise. Well, I think we should prepare the body for that challenge. And the way we can do that is gradually warm the body up, and that is, it might be increasing the heart rate gently, but also warming the muscles. And typically, if your muscles are warmer, there's evidence to suggest that that can be somewhat protective. Rather than going out and doing an all-out activity when you're cold, the risk of injury could be higher. So there's a thing about preparing the body properly before you start doing your workout, and that is a series of exercises where you're warming up the joints, warming up the muscles, and a warmer muscle typically will perform a lot better in terms of your ability to lift and so on. So I think, you know, before you start your training program per se, that you should be doing at least a 5 or sometimes a 10-minute warm-up just to get the body prepared for it. I think typically, I mean, I usually do a 5-minute stretching routine. Just really, it's more about getting the joints warmed up as I get older, and I really want to make sure that I don't injure myself by not having prepared the body beforehand. So the same thing, the same principle really applies at the end of the workout. What we don't want to do is have blood pooling and lower in the legs and so on. We need to have a return to our normal resting heart rate. So typically after your workout, your heart rate's going and so on, you need to allow the body to come back to its normal resting state. And that's just really important for your recovery. So spend some time at the end of the workout, and it could be some light walking. It could be on a treadmill, riding an exercise bike for 5 minutes or so, just walking around, doing some light calisthenic exercises or stretching, just to get the body back to its resting state. And so there's a pre and a post period where you should be doing some light exercises, and in the middle you've got your workout. So pay attention to both the pre and the post.
Gordon Lynch is our guest, talking about how to have that safe weight training workout. Also, again, be realistic. Don't think, I'm going to start lifting weights this week and next week I'll be ready for the Olympics.
Yeah, and sometimes we get a little bit excited, so I'm speaking from personal experience, and sometimes there's a temptation, especially for younger people, to see athletes and others lifting weights and having programs that they see on the internet or in magazines and someone saying, I'm going to do this particular workout. Well, really, if we're going to be sensible about this and avoid getting injured, we really have to have a program that's designed for us. There's a particular need, so there has to be a purpose to your training. Otherwise, we're just going through the motion and we're not really going to get the most out of it. This is an investment of time. I want to make sure that you're using that time effectively and you get a return on that investment. So it is about setting a realistic goal of what you want to achieve. So if you're going to a gym, or you have a personal trainer, or you have the wherewithal to create something yourself, you need to start off slowly and have a realistic picture about where you think you can head. But a program should be designed so that if you stick with that training program, you should be accomplishing or realizing certain goals. And it could be about muscle strength, it could be about endurance, it could be about weight loss, it could be different things. But an exercise program has to be tailored for you. So what might work for someone else may not work necessarily for you, because we are different in terms of our physiology. So the important thing is you have a program that's designed for you based upon your needs, but it's also designed with a realistic goal and a realistic time frame.
How do you know that you're using the best equipment, or that that equipment is safe for you?
Yeah, I mean, I think that comes with a little bit of experience, but if you're training in well-equipped facilities that are usually very well-maintained, I think the issue of equipment maintenance is usually someone else's responsibility, and there are sort of legal obligations to ensure that the equipment is safe. So I think you're pretty safe in those environments. I think, especially if you're training at home, and I'm a big advocate for home training, as I've been training at home and have a decent sort of setup. But I've also got to make sure that equipment is maintained. The unfortunate thing, as I'll share with my listeners, is that my treadmill conked out for the second time this year and is out of action. So, you know, the issue, I've got to replace that with something new. It's an expensive item, but I've got to weigh up, you know, so getting a good piece of equipment that's going to have a warranty and it's going to be safe, and I know that if I get that, then I'm minimising the risk of injury because I'm using the equipment that's, you know, that is in good working order. If you're using equipment, you've got to make sure that your lifting weights, that the collars that go on the ends of the bar that hold the weight plates, that they're secure. There are simple things you can follow to ensure that you're lifting safely. And equipment maintenance or attention to detail about that equipment is one way that you can sort of have a checklist to make sure, yes, I'm doing things correctly and the equipment I'm using is going to be safe and effective for me.
All right. Also, you know, don't overdo it. Don't think, right, I'm really working hard now. I can do more and more and more. Yes, you've got to do that, but you've got to do it gradually, don't you? You want to actually be able to lift more as you go on, but you've got to do it gradually.
Yeah, and I think when you do this, and sometimes it's a matter of trust until you start doing it yourself, when you start getting into an exercise program and there's that return on what I talk about, return on investment, you start to feel fitter. Your muscles start to feel better than they did before if the program is designed in a sensible way. The temptation may be, especially when you're new to it, is that you try and do too much too soon. And what we really want to avoid is doing that, because if your muscles aren't prepared to work at a particular challenging level too early, then the propensity for injury will increase. So I think it's, again, coming back to this sensible approach to training, is that we have a program that's progressive in the way that we approach it. So when I say don't overdo it, we want to work hard, but we need to do that sensibly. And that's where the program design comes into it, Rod, that the program has built into it the stages of exertion, shall we say, making it harder in a progressive way so that the body has a chance to adapt and to be ready for the next challenge. If you do that too quickly, then the body says, hang on a sec, I'm not prepared for this, and, you know, systems can fail. And that's what we don't want to happen.
So how difficult is it to be patient as you, you know, work on your workout?
I guess that goes together with that statement. It's about, you know, making sure that this is a term I use a lot, and our listeners know that, make haste slowly. Seems a bit odd, but it's actually true. I know you get enthusiastic about exercise because you want to get healthier, and you do, if you stick with it, you do feel so much better, and your body will thank you for it. But we need to do it in a gradual manner. So the patience part of it, and that's, you know, making sure that we rest properly between sessions, allow the body to recover properly before we challenge it again, that becomes really important. So when we're doing a resistance training program, a weight training program, typically we allow a day's rest, sometimes 2 days rest, sometimes 3 days rest between sessions, depending upon how intense the exercise has been. And there are various ways that we can train, and demanding ways that we can train, which of course will require us to rest more often between training sessions. But it's really about, you know, having the appropriate rest and then being patient. If the program is designed properly, the results will come. If they're not coming, then it may be a time to adjust that program, you know, confer with an expert, describe what you want to achieve, reset the goals, and then have a program that's designed for you, that's done in the most safe and effective way possible. The whole point of what we're saying today is about doing things, getting people out there, but making sure that we're doing it safely and effectively.
And that's advice from someone who's been doing that for many years. Have you ever had problems with your weight training?
Yes, putting weights back on the rack. I should have done it this way. Sometimes you get complacent. And that's, even with people who have trained for a very long time, do get injured, and often it's because of complacency. Sometimes it's because they haven't rested properly. And as I've got older, I need to make sure that rest period is appropriate. Because, I like to work hard. I want to get a return on that investment. I'm not doing it for no purpose. There is a purpose for what I'm doing. It's trying to maintain quality of life for as long as possible by improving or maintaining the health of my muscular system, the bones, the skeletal system, but also the heart and lungs as well, making sure the whole system is working as best it can. And if we can do that with a longer-term view, along the way, things will go wrong, but if they're minor, we can recover from them pretty easily. So that's where this sensible approach to training will allow you to get into that groove for the longest period and to get the longest return on that investment.
All right. Gordon, thank you very much for that. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks a lot, Rod.
Gordon Lynch, Health and Fitness.
Overnights with Rod Quinn on ABC Radio.